First, I'd like to welcome all of you and thank you for joining this call. I know we have many very experienced leaders who have been doing this with us since 2013. And I hope for those who've been with us for a while who come on this call, you'll find this discussion of using the media resources particularly helpful and help you take it to the next level. We also have some newer leaders who've done this one time or no time so far, who've just joined us in the last few weeks. In fact, every year that we've done this, since 2013, we've had more locations than the year before. And this year in particular, we've been way ahead of previous year's numbers as different dates on the calendar have ticked off. So we're very excited at that and hope that we'll be able to really provide a great deal of assistance to newer leaders who have called in for this first call of perhaps their career as National Day of Remembrance leaders. So thank you all for coming. God bless you. And now I'd like to hand the floor over to Father Frank Bivona, Priest for Life, for our opening prayer.
All right, then. Thank all of you, brothers and sisters, for being here and helping us make this an event impactful and successful. Let us pray. Father, Lord of life, and you are the Lord of hope. When we come before you, Lord, surrounded by the devastation of abortion, and yet filled with hope. Hope that comes from you, through your Spirit, through the death and resurrection of your Son. Hope that sends us forth to mourn, to pray, to remember, and to fight to protect our youngest brothers and sisters. Lord, we ask that this day of remembrance will be a moment of mourning, a moment of deep breaking of our hearts, because we know to end the tragedy of abortion, we have to allow you to break our hearts over this tragedy, break our hearts for our brothers and sisters. So, Lord, help us to mourn. Help us to remember the violence that took their lives. Help us to remember the dignity and uniqueness of their lives. Help us to remember them, Lord, even in death, although the efforts of our movement did not save them before their death. Nevertheless, we do not stop loving them. And, Lord, help this day. Make this day that is coming up, day of healing, that those who take part in or hear about these services may know of the mercy that is available to them, whether they have been involved in abortion by having it or encouraging it or facilitating it or perhaps, Lord, even performing it. Let the word of your healing and resound this nation as we gather at these grave sites and these memorial markers and mourn our brothers and sisters. Let this be a day of healing. Let this be a profound impact on our brothers and sisters in every community, calling them to be living memorials to the unborn, calling them to take up their part in this great movement, to be a voice for these children. Bless us, Lord, now with energy, with wisdom, with insight, with creativity, and with strength to carry out the ideas we will discuss and give success to the work of our hands, because we know, Lord, that unless you build the city, in vain do the builders labor. We will not labor in vain, because we put all our hope and trust in you, and we know that through our faith, you will work through us, Lord, to bring about truly a National Day of Remembrance that will bring us closer to the end of abortion. We ask all this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that beautiful prayer, Father Frank. Before we jump into the program, and I give you a little overview of where we're going, I want to make a reference to a few important notes that are not on our evening's topic of the media, things that you should be aware of in these final weeks before the National Day of Remembrance. We've set up a system at the website, abortionmemorials.com, whereby people can email you for information. There's a link there. We use a proxy email address. What that means is it's an email address that we set up specifically for that National Day of Remembrance location, and so your personal email address that you gave us when you signed on is not exposed, so robots can't come in and hunt it down and start sending you spam. That protects your email, but also provides an opportunity for people to ask you those questions. So those messages will come to your email. You want to be looking for those, so you know, pay attention to your email. If you're the sort of person who logs in, you know, once a week to check email, at this point you should up that to really a daily look, if that's at all possible, because people really do expect a quick answer when they ask a question. And someone who will go so far as to go and fill out that form or to click that link to look for information, that's a motivated person and somebody you want to be in touch with. It could be a reporter, it could be a volunteer, somebody who might want to help you, somebody who's simply looking for information so they can attend. It's important to respond to those. So we set that system up for you. Be sure to take advantage also of the free publicity you can get through church bulletins. There are still two more Sundays before the National Day of Remembrance. You could get your message out in the church bulletin. There are literally three Sundays, but you're not going to get into this Sunday's bulletin because they're all printed. So in order to get into the following Sunday, the following two Sundays with your information, you need to get those bulletin announcements in by the end of this week. And I'll send out with my update email on this conference call some information about the bulletins, including a link to the sample bulletin we've put together for you on the website that you can use with just filling out your information. And finally, if we haven't received any important details about your service, the time, of course, if there's any special parking information, if you've got guest speakers you want to let people know about, get those to us. Email them to ejs@prolifeaction.org and get that info to us so we can put it up on the website and let people know. All right, now on to the subject of this evening's conference call, how you can get more and better media coverage for your event, or what you can do to make that more possible than it would be without taking that effort. We really want to make a big push for media this year because we've recognized over the years that we've been doing this that the media really do take an interest in this event, especially, again, those friendly media, the local Christian radio station or television station, perhaps an online journal in your area. Even if it's not Christian, people are always interested in what's happening locally. They see an opportunity to get their name in print in one of those magazines like Patch or something, and they'll jump at the opportunity. So we want to do as much of that as we can. And we've seen some incredible results over the years. I'll never forget the report from a couple of years ago in Birmingham, Alabama. It couldn't have been better if I'd written it myself. These reporters simply covering this event, the local people did such a wonderful job of making it a solemn event and putting the focus on the unborn child, speaking, you know, very eloquently to the people who came and did the interviews for the TV station. It was just a wonderful report. And that's the kind of thing we want to see more of. And we also want to see more of that smaller micro-local coverage, hyper-local, they sometimes call it, and the local radio. There's so much that you can do to get the word out, not only so people will come and attend, but also so that they will think about what we're doing here and the meaning of mourning for the children we've been able to bury and those that we've seen buried in landfills and in incinerators all over the country because they were so totally abandoned. So a quick overview of the call. I'm going to run down all the leadership resources available to you at abortionmemorials.com to give you an idea, those of you who are new leaders, what's out there for you. And for those of you who've been doing this for a while, maybe a reminder on some of the things that are there that you may not remember are there for you. Then Monica Miller from Citizens for a Pro-Life Society is going to go over how you can earn media coverage and build a good media list so that you're able to then reach out to that media in any way that you need to in the days before and after your memorial service. Then we'll have Father Frank on the new Day of Remembrance press release and how you can use that. And finally, we'll wrap up with questions and answers. So jot down anything that comes to mind as we're going through this call that you'd like to know more about, especially if it's related to media. But if you have any other questions or concerns as well, you can bring those up during that Q&A session as well. And finally, please note this call is being recorded, and a link to the recording will be sent out tomorrow. All right, I'm going to now discuss some of the resources available for you at abortionmemorials.com, including these media resources, just to kind of put that in context and also, again, point to some of those other areas where you might need some help in these last few days. The resources over there at abortionmemorials.com are broken into five main areas. And those are your first steps, such as securing your Day of Remembrance site. You might want to visit that place. You might want to have to talk to somebody at the cemetery, if it's at a cemetery, that kind of thing. And also building your local leadership team. So who are you going to need to help you with these different parts? Now, some people put on the entire operation all by themselves. They're very organized, you know, go-getter people with time on their hands or that, you know, facility to get things done in a special way. Most people, though, have a team they work with. And we will talk about in that section the different jobs that those people could have, and that would include somebody who would be your media liaison. So it's one of the jobs in that local leadership team. All right, the second section is on promoting your memorial service, ways that you can spread the word, such as the bulletin announcement we just talked about a moment ago, reaching out to people through social media and the pro-life community in your area and so forth. There's a whole lot of information there, including the customizable flyer you can fill out with your information and print out and then post throughout the community. And then another section in that promotion part of the resources is partnering with churches, because there are some special, you know, things you need to know. Because, you know, all of us in this operation are Christians of one sort or another, and often, you know, particular communities are much more familiar with their own church's way of doing things. So Protestants sometimes need help understanding how you liaison with the Catholic churches and vice versa. You know, Catholics need to understand how Protestant churches are organized and how you communicate with them, who you talk to. And there's also a special section on inviting local bishop. The third section is on media coverage, getting to know that local media, and then how you reach out to them. We'll be going into that and unpacking that a great deal more in just a few moments. The fourth section is on planning your memorial service. Some of the things you have to do in advance, like, you know, providing for any sound equipment you might need if you expect that kind of a size group, or any advanced preparations with guest speakers. And then finally, your memorial service and plan. We've got ideas for organizing your program, things you can do, prayers you can say, and hymns you can sing, and those kinds of things, so that everything you might want to use during a memorial service is available for you. And the final and fifth section of the leadership resources area of abortionmemorials.com is on documenting your memorial service, taking those photos, getting video, what to do with that once you've got it, finding somebody who can do it if it's not something you're comfortable with, and then how you share all of that. How do you share the story of what happened, you know, with social media, getting us a head count of how many folks came out, watching the news for any coverage that you received of the event. Sometimes, you know, media will cover an event even if they don't show up for it. So you got to really keep an eye out for that, be doing those Google News searches and so forth. So that's the quick overview of all that's available at abortionmemorials.com. Now we're going to zoom in on the media section, and I'm now going to hand it over to Monica Miller, Citizens for a Pro-Life Society, to tell us about a little sort of an overview of earning media coverage, what that's all about, and then building that media list. Go ahead, Monica.
Oh, hi. Thank you, Eric. I want to thank everyone for being on this call, and I also want to extend my gratitude to all of the local leaders. And maybe Eric has already, you know, said this, but the fact is that without the local leaders, the National Day of Remembrance simply wouldn't happen. So we are incredibly grateful. Media is one of the ways in which the memorial services do get extended in time and extended in space, and we proliferate the pro-life, you know, the pro-life message by having outreach to the media, and hopefully then, of course, that the media will come out and do something in terms of covering the event. What's one of the things that you need to be doing if you haven't already done it as a local leader, and that is to actually put together a media list. You know, one of the things you need to keep in mind that is that nobody deserves media coverage. You do have to earn it. You have to go out and get it. You have to make the media, the television editors for TV and for print media and whatever, Yeah, they have to believe that you believe and that what you are doing is important. We know that we live at a time where unborn babies, frankly, they are ignored, but that's why it's incumbent on us to make sure that they're not ignored, to make a big deal out of the fact that in your very city, your very town, if you have a gravesite, to make a big deal about that, and to also provide history about where did those babies come from, what abortion clinic did they come from, is that clinic still doing abortions, has there been any controversy regarding the practice of abortion at those particular at that particular abortion clinic where these babies came from, and so on. It's very important not to have a defeatist attitude about, you know, what we know as biased media, because that will undermine your effectiveness. You can be surprised by the media coming out and covering your event. And I may give a couple of examples about that towards the end of my presentation. Regarding effectiveness, for more on this, you can see the Ten Commandments of Media Relations. That would be the Ten Commandments of Media Relations, which is linked to Earning Good Media Coverage, which is on the Leadership Resources section of abortionmemorials.com. So let me say that again. You want to look at the Ten Commandments of Media Relations, which is linked to the Earning Good Media Coverage on the Leadership Resources section of abortionmemorials.com. And we've put together a detailed media timeline for you on earning good media coverage, the page that Eric just mentioned. Step one, as I already mentioned, step one is to put together your local media list. Don't just rely on your own knowledge of local media. It's very easy. The easiest thing to do is to Google search the TV stations and the radio stations and the newspapers, including Christian media, in your area. And those TV stations are going to come up, one right after another. The newspapers are going to come up, one right after another. You need to click on the links, and the phone numbers, the central line for the TV stations and for the newspapers may come up immediately. And if you call the central number, ask for the newsroom. And what you want, ideally, is a couple of things. You want the newsroom direct line. So you're not going through an operator when you call the TV station or the newspaper. You're going to be connected to the newsroom. And then when you get connected to the newsroom, you want to talk to the editor, the news editor. And that's really what you want to ask for. And so when you're calling the media. Those are the things you want, the newsroom phone number, and then when you get in, you want to talk to the news editor. You might actually know some reporters, and when you go to these websites for the TV and for the newspapers, they'll actually often list the reporters with their phone numbers and their personal emails. And that's what you want, to build your list. And all you got to do is just cut and paste it right into a Word doc. It's not like you've got to type everything out from scratch. You just cut and paste those things right into a Word doc and have everything organized according to the TV station, the name of the newspaper, and so on and so forth. So you want to make a detailed list of these media outlets, including, as I said, the phone numbers and the email addresses of editors and reporters. And you may wish to go farther and call up, you know, the main number to see if there's a, as I said, the newsroom number that you would use when you're going to call into the television stations or the newspapers. And again, of course, to try and get those specific reporters, their names, their phone numbers, and their emails as well, especially reporters that deal with religion, science issues, or, of course, the abortion issue also. You're going to use your media list to submit your press release. And as Father Frank will very shortly explain, you'll need those phone numbers for making follow-up calls. So you're going to create your press release, and you're going to email it to those media outlets, the editors, the main number for those television stations and newspapers, and then even individual reporters. Very important. This is really very important. Do not send your press release as an attachment. It needs to be right in the body of the email that you're sending out. And then, of course, you want to get your subject box correct, right? Press release or breaking news. And then, you know, to highlight that you're having a memorial service for aborted babies at whatever, at the cemetery or whatever. So the subject box needs to be well done, and make sure that your press release is right in the body of the email and not in an attachment, because a lot of times they're going to completely ignore it. They're not going to open up that attachment, and you would have lost your opportunity to get the attention of the media. If you have any relationship with local media, especially Christian media, take advantage of that and ask them to do an interview with you before the memorial service. That is a great way to get the word out, especially radio stations. Christian radio stations or even conservative talk radio will be sympathetic to what you're doing, and get on some of those local programs. Even if it's just a 5 or 10 minute interview, that is free publicity, and it's a great way for you to promote your memorial service. Now, I know that these steps might sound perhaps overwhelming, but here's the thing. Just do your best. That's all you can, you know, that can be expected. Just do your best. If you're an experienced National Day of Remembrance leader, build on what you've done in the past, and then just try to take it to the next level. If you're a less experienced leader, don't be anxious. You can't follow through on absolutely everything. That's okay. You'll be learning for the next time around when you know that you'll be able to do more. So I'm going to hand this off now to Father Frank Pavone, Priests for Life. Go ahead, Father, take it away.
Well, thank you so much, Monica, and thank you again, Eric. Brothers and sisters, the press releases, we are going to give you some very specific guidance here by means of templates that you can use. So in other words, take courage. The press release and the media alert are already written for you for the most part. There's just a few blanks that you need to fill in. And if you're in front of your computer as you're listening to this call, it might help to go. I would encourage you to go to abortionmemorials.com as I'm explaining this, because you'll be able to see the links for these press releases right on the front page of the website, abortionmemorials.com. You see a grayish box button that says Leadership Resources Here. Leadership Resources Here. If you click that, then you're going to see towards the middle of the page a little table of contents, top resources. And the final link in that little box says press release and media alerts. Now, what we're going to show you is the templates for the press release for this year. Now, there's two basic types. One is for the gravesite prayer service. Okay, so if you're leading a prayer service at a place where babies are actually buried, there is a press release there that you would use. If you click that link, you're going to see a paragraph there that starts with drafting and submitting your press release and media alert. And then there's a link there, press release for the gravesite prayer service. And then right after that, a press release for the regular memorial site prayer service, if there is a memorial site with a stone or a marker, but not necessarily babies buried there. What we want you to notice is that we're using hooks. One of the ways to get the media involved, an overall rule, of course, make their job as easy as possible. They're already covering various news stories. The people in the media outlet that are dealing with the abortion issue are covering the main abortion news that's out there already. If we can ride the wave or of that coverage, or at least hook what we are doing into those existing stories, it makes their job easier. It gives them a rationale if you will, to cover what we are doing, and it just makes for more interest. So you'll see at the beginning of these draft press releases that we're using two relevant stories. One, the story out of Iceland, the sad story about the, quote, elimination of Down syndrome, which, of course, is not an elimination of Down syndrome, but rather an elimination of the people who have it by abortion. And, of course, that's very sad and tragic. That story has been circulating. And then another story, of course, is what happened in Oregon with a law there that requires free insurance coverage for abortion, a very pro-abortion state, of course, politically, and they are taking advantage of that. So what these press releases do is they mention these stories and they say, look, abortion is in the news, abortion is happening, but here now we're doing something that focuses in on abortion, not just as an abstraction, but as a very real death of a real person, and therefore we're going to their gravesite to honor and remember them. Okay, now, the two kinds of press releases, you are going to see the wording in there, starting with these hooks that we just mentioned, and then allowing you to fill in some of the details of the service in your particular area. For example, and you'll see this in brackets, that's where you're filling in the blanks. For example, who's going to be speaking at your particular service, or what the a little bit of the history of the memorial site that you're at. Nothing very long, just a sentence or two saying, you know, the babies were here, were buried in this particular year, or these bodies were found in in dumpsters. Just a sentence or two mentioning that, and various other details that you'll see the template invites you to fill in. Again, two different kinds of press releases, but don't confuse that then with the media alert. The media alert is a shorter document. Again, there's a template there, and this goes out right before the event. Now, where and when do we use these? We're recommending this, that the press release go out twice. The first time it would go out would be a week before the event. So on Friday, September the 1st, is when we're recommending you email or fax the press release to everyone on the media list that you've compiled, according to the guidance that Monica mentioned a few moments ago. Friday, September 1st is your target date for the first of these press releases. Do it in the morning, if at all possible, before the weekend the weekend begins. Then, in order to make sure this gets attention, send it again on Tuesday, the 5th of September, four days before the memorial event. And then follow up with a phone call. It's easier for an email or a fax to get swept up in the barrage of things. And remember, as we get close, we don't know what other news is going to be happening and that's going to take the attention of these media outlets. So we want to do everything possible to bring their attention to it. Don't let it get lost. Send it twice. Follow up with a phone call within 24 hours of sending it the that second time. Then on the Thursday and Friday before the event itself, so in other words, we're talking about the 7th and the 8th of September, that's when you want to send a shorter media alert. And that is just the who, what, when, where, why, just bullet points alerting them, hey, this is going on. And again, it's not necessarily that they would show up, but they might cover it anyway. And again, follow up with a phone call to the media outlets on the day itself. Hey, today's the day. We've been sending you information about this. Just want to make sure you know about it. And don't be surprised if whoever you're talking to that day, it's the first that they're hearing of it. Be patient. Be persistent. Be repetitive. Because to you it's repetitive, but to them, again, it's going to be, I didn't know about that. Could you send me more information? And don't lose patience and don't be surprised if you've sent a press release two or three times and then when you call, they say, oh, could you please send me that information? Don't say, oh, I sent it to you already. Just say, yes, I'll be happy to send it to you, and then don't waste any time. Send it to them right then and there. So that's what we recommend And, of course, emphasize and prioritize with the Christian media. Get the low-hanging fruit. Those who seem to be interested, those who seem to be responsive, go with them, run with them. And sometimes, you know, a friendly media outlet gives us a little bit of coverage, and that's what then will cause others to pay attention. When the media look at each other, and you get it into a friendly door, and some of the others who are kind of neutral might, for that very reason, start paying attention. Okay, so again, look at these templates on the website. Go to that box, that button that says Leadership Resources here. Then go to Top Resources, Press Release, and Media Alert, and then you'll see a few paragraphs there that have the links to the two press releases and the Media Alert itself. Thank you so much, and Eric, back to you.
Okay.
Yeah. Eric, this is Monica. Let me just also bring up a couple of things. The local, you know, hometown newspaper often can be a wonderful opportunity to get your story. You know, it's not just that you got to go for the big, you know, Chicago Tribune or the New York Times or, you know, the Detroit Free Press, the bigger papers. But the local, the really local papers, your hometown paper, if you have one, is, you know, don't feel that, well, it's inconsequential. If you got your news story in the smaller media outlets, like a local paper, they may be the ones that really put it right on the front page because it's for them, it's this interesting news. So don't dismiss that. Also, take photos of your memorial service and send them to the press. That afternoon, we got a great color photo in the Oakland Press. Oakland County in Michigan is very densely populated. The Oakland Press is a very popular paper, and they printed our color photo with little African-American children putting flowers on the grave of the aborted babies, and there was a big caption. So send them the photos and send them a caption, and they may actually just go, you see, you're kind of doing their work for them, and they like that, right? They weren't able to send out a reporter. They weren't able to send out a photographer, so you send the media the photos, and voila, we had it in the paper the next day. It was really great.
Thank you, Monica. That's an important reminder about, you know, one way you can go ahead and get more media coverage. You know, sometimes they may have looked at it, thought about it, never got in touch with you, never came out, never asked any questions, but when they see that email follow-up with the photo, it's like, oh, yeah, that, and then they run with something. So, you know, the scales can be tipped pretty easily, you know. A lot of whether something works out or not has to kind of weigh in a nice edge. So the way that this Q&A session works is you have to press *6 and then 1 to confirm. That's kind of how you raise your hand. *6 and then 1 to confirm your intention to ask a question. And we'll do this by area code, unless we can figure out who you are from the number if we recognize it. And we'll ask you your name and where in the country we are, what city your event is in. And then you can ask your question, and we'll do our best to respond. So I'm waiting for our tech, Matt, who's voice you just heard during that little glitch, to see who our first questioner will be. Again, to ask a question on this Q&A session, whether it's about media or any other aspect of this event, press *6 and then 1 to confirm. *6 and 1 to confirm. You know, here in Chicago, just to kind of carry another point on media coverage forward as we see if anyone would like to ask a question by raising *6 and 1 to confirm. We had coverage by the Diocesan Paper, which is a pretty big deal in the Archdiocese of Chicago, where our memorial service was held at Queen of Heaven Cemetery. It's a very widely distributed, widely read paper. They came out to cover the event because our bishop at that time, Cardinal Francis George, came out our first 2 years to speak at this. His predecessor, Cardinal Joseph Bernardine, had also been involved because he had buried those children back in the 1980s. So that was a story they were really eager to cover. We even had a story on that memorial, one of those memorial services at that cemetery in Catholic Cemetery Magazine, of all places. So many of these burial places and memorial markers around the country are at Catholic cemeteries, to the point that the editors of that magazine, a specialty magazine for the directors of these Catholic cemeteries, you know, hundreds of them around the country, felt the need to, the desire to write a story about that. So you never know where you might be able to get additional coverage for what you're doing. Well, we haven't received any questions this evening, so I'm going to chalk that up to a pretty thorough call and a website where the resources are really well spelled out to you. I appreciate all of you for coming on this call to share some time with us talking about how we can leverage the media more effectively for this event and get our story out and raise this issue of mourning for our aborted brothers and sisters and really pondering what the loss of their lives has meant for our society and for so many people individually because of their own involvement with abortion. Again, all of this call will be available to you in audio, in an email tomorrow. You can share that with your team, anyone who couldn't join us tonight, or if you missed anything along the way, you'll be able to go back to that or share that. If you've got any problems or questions, you can email the team at ejs@prolifeaction.org. We'll get back to you right away, help you as best we can. I want to wish you great luck with all of your final preparations and that this will be a real blessed experience for you, not just the event itself, but the preparations, because behind the scenes of every one of these types of moving events, any type of gesture like this, of public mourning, there's a great deal of hard work that has to be done, and you're doing it. So thank you for that, and may you feel blessed for that. And finally, I'd like to offer it over to Father Frank to give us a closing prayer.
Okay. Thanks, Eric. And thanks once again, everybody, for being with us tonight. Let us pray. Lord God, thank you for this opportunity to witness to our unborn brothers and sisters, those who are still in danger, those who have already been killed. Lord, make us instruments of life and of healing. We ask you, Lord, as this National Day of Remembrance comes together, that we will be able to spread to our communities the stories, the moving stories of the grave sites that are in our midst and how those babies were found and the reverence with which they were buried, a reverence that makes up for the lack of reverence that abortion itself has imposed upon them. So, Lord, help us to spread this awareness. And help us also to be prophetic as we do this, realizing that as we stand and mourn at these grave sites, we are pointing to the day when our whole society will mourn over this sad, tragic chapter in our history when the unborn were not protected. That day is coming, Lord, when a great spirit of mourning will flood the nation and overcome the world as we turn away once and for all from the killing of children by abortion and enter into a new culture of life. May our tears water the ground for that new culture of life to flourish. May our tears, may our sorrow, may our mourning indeed be the foundation for a new chapter of human history without abortion. We ask this boldly tonight in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for that lovely closing prayer. Thank all of you for joining the call. Thanks, Monica, for sharing with us your expertise on media. Wish you all a blessed night and a very successful day of remembrance on September 9th. Good night.